This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the government shutdown drags on, Democrats are continuing to push for an extension of health care subsidies. Republicans saying that is not a part of this resolution. ABC's Jay O'Brien's on Capitol Hill.
Republicans have been saying over and over and over again, they're not going to negotiate with Democrats while the government is actively shut down. And Democrats are holding firm, essentially trying to get Republicans to blink and vice versa.
Warnings about slowdowns at places like airports where air traffic controllers and TSA agents are working without getting paid. This is the 2-year anniversary of the October 7th Hamas attacks. Talks continue in Egypt on a possible ceasefire. Hundreds of National Guard troops from Texas arriving in Illinois, with the Trump administration looking to deploy them in Chicago, state and city filing a lawsuit. CDC is out with its recommendations for COVID vaccines, saying it's up to you whether to get the shot or not. Some say the change is not good for America's health. This is ABC News. Former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez is now facing felony battery charges after a fight in Indianapolis, apparently over a parking spot. Here's ABC's Matt Rivers.
Shortly after 12:30 a.m. Saturday night, police say the 38-year-old Sanchez approached Perry Toll, a 69-year-old delivery truck driver, in the middle of his shift about where the victim parked. Toll, who says Sanchez smelled of alcohol, alleges Sanchez shoved him and prevented him from calling for help. Toll telling police he feared he was in physical danger, pepper spraying Sanchez in the face. According to police, when the former quarterback advanced again, Toll thought, "This guy is trying to kill me," and stabbed Sanchez multiple times.
Sanchez could face up to 6 years behind bars. Holiday shopping season's here. Adobe Analytics expects Americans to spend $9 billion today and tomorrow, with Amazon launching its Prime Day event and other retailers following suit. Adobe says online shopping for November through the end of the year could top $250 billion. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most, in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
The Brewers roll past the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-3 victory over the Cubs in their best of five playoff series. The Cubs have now lost two in a row. Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, in the first two games, we have just not, you know, produced enough pressure on them. And it's, you know, that's going to add up to a lot of zeros.
Game three tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock at Wrigley Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked if Quinn Priester will be on the mound.
Do you know what your plans are for game three starting pitcher?
Game three will be Priester.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Heat 103-93 in preseason play. The Packers held practice, and wide receiver Christian Watson out there since that ACL injury last January. Does it feel good to be back?
100%. I got to knock a little bit of rust off. Obviously, it's been a while since I've been able to, you know, go out there and play football, but from just, you know, confidence and just running and everything, it felt really good.
That's Christian Watson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Finally, a stretch of some crisp fall weather for today. Plenty of sunshine. High temperatures in the comfortable mid-60s. For tonight, mostly clear, chilly with lows in the mid-30s. On Wednesday, more of the same. Plenty of sunshine with highs again in the mid-60s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers, how are they faring? The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to our number two here, act two, as we call it, here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me. Folks, we are going to cut our recap short tonight because we have a very special guest. But tonight's tonight's question of the night is, what movie character best describes your personality? And maybe we'll do a quick recap of all the fun stuff you missed after we are done speaking with one of our favorite guests here. He is the Civic Media Sports Authority. And he is calling us, I believe, from the ballpark down there in what I like to call Milwaukee. Mr. Mike Clemens. Hey, buddy.
How are you, Pete?
Doing very well. Not as well as the Brewers, but after Saturday's game anyway. But how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Oh, Brewers are doing great. You're not doing great. You're not 1-0.
I'm not 1-0. I'm more like a 2-2, but 50%.
Oh, there you go. There you go. No, in the press box, and we're waiting for game two, which gets a late start tonight at 8:08, first pitch. I think that they schedule it 8 minutes after the top of the hour because it takes most people about 8 minutes to find it where it is tonight on TV. But other than that.
Wow. Okay. Is it a beautiful night at the ballpark?
It's cloudy in Milwaukee, and, you know, there's a chance of rain, so they've closed the roof here. But right now they're spraying down the field. And, you know, the big story that happened this afternoon is that Jackson Churio, who, you know, in that incredible rally the Brewers had in the first inning against the Cubs where it was 6-1 and everybody was taking turns going to the bases, Jackson's running out a ball at first, and he was safe. But when he finished, he winced a little bit. And the trainer was out there in a second, and Pat Murphy right behind him, because I was like, oh, God, is it the hamstring again?
Yeah.
And, you know, he tried to sort of wave him off, but they said, no. Why don't you – we're up 6-1. We'll get a pinch runner for you. And then after the game, they had an MRI. So Murph was – you know, he said, man, if we lose this kid, it's going to be devastating. Jackson came and talked to us and said, I think it's fine. I don't think it's that bad. It's just – there was a little tweak there. And so I talked to some of the, you know, beat reporters, and they said, well, that's what he said last time when he, you know, had a hamstring. And then he said, I don't think it's that bad, and he missed the next month.
Oh,
he's that valuable to Pat Murphy. He did not want to lose that kid.
Wow.
But, you know, the MRI was inconclusive. He had a small workout yesterday here afternoon. All both teams worked out and took BP. And then they were running him here about 2 hours before the game getting started here, and they decide to go. So he's in left field, and he's going to be the leadoff batter tonight.
There you go, Con.
That was the...
Conrad was a little worried about him.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news, Mike. How what's the mood like? I mean, I know fans were thrilled that the Brewers came out so swinging the bats in game one and took the lead like that. Is there a great vibe in the air tonight, Mike?
100%.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they lost most of their games. They're down the stretch. They were injured. They were banged up. Yeah, they were saving some of their guys, but they were in kind of rough shape. Then they, because they won more games than anybody else in the majors, they get the full bye week. As Pat Murphy pointed out, you know, they got more time off last week than if it was the All-Star day.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, he worked them for two or three workout sessions. You know, on Friday's session, I mean, these guys got in here about 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. They had batting practice around 2. And I was, you know, I'm usually the last one out of the press box, as you know, with all the stories that I do and editing and stuff. So it's about 6:30 Friday night, and I'm up walking the parking lot, and a guy waves to me, and it's Jack Centurio with the sunglasses on. I mean, on his day off, the 20-year-old kid is out here from 8 in the morning till 6:30 at night on Friday, the day before the game. And that's just, you know, these ball players, they're here every day. Every day through the baseball season. So it's a long day, you know, and the media too. They had press conferences today starting at 1, 2, Murph went at 4 o'clock today. And then plus, you know, they open up the like 3 hours before the game. We're doing pregame press conferences to talk to the players about what they think is going on. So the next thing that you're concerned about going into Saturday's game was rust. You know, it's one thing to be in that rhythm and playing every day. The Cubs just got done with a tough series at home against the San Diego Padres. Played until late, was it Thursday night? Then they have to come up here the next day. At least they didn't have to go out west someplace, just 90 miles to the north. But you're thinking, the Brewers are going to be rusty. Freddy Peralta throws one over the plate. Michael Busch takes it out of the park. Cubs are up 1-0. But then the Brewers come in, and they look rested.
Yeah.
They look comfortable. They attacked Matthew Boyd, who was only on 3 days rest coming out of the series of the Padres, and they just drilled him. I mean, just drilled him. So it was just the opposite effect. These guys got rested there and fired up. The other thing unique about Saturday's game, Pete, was the crowd. And I'm not some guy, you know, rah-rah pom-pom for teams or anything like that. I'm just telling it like it is. I've been doing this since 1982.
Yeah.
When the World Series was here. And I could not, first of all, the Brewers did an amazing job of the pageantry leading up to it. You know, they did a really nice job with that Euchre tribute in August.
Yeah.
And because, you know, your team is in first place all summer long, you have an idea you might be hosting the playoffs here. So they had a tremendous rendition of the national anthem, some other attractions. Then they've handed out 42,000 of these gold rally towels. And Charlie Behrens, who was on our network on Saturday, you know, the great Wisconsin media, he goes, "Hey, Wisconsin!" And everybody just goes nuts. And he's down there behind home plate on camera with a microphone, say, you know, "Do it like this." And he's showing them how to whirl that rally towel and get it going. This place was so loud. I told one of the PR people, I said, "It's as if you guys had auditions and rehearsals for your crowd here." It was unbelievable. It's so loud and so in sync. You know, like that old rock and roll song, "Let's Go, Clap, 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 Clap."
Yeah.
It was really. It's like a bunch of a really sober, energetic 30 and 40 somethings that dominated the field, and not many Cubs fans. It was Brewer fans. They did not sell their tickets for this one.
I was going to ask you about that, Mike. Like what the, because I wonder if it'll be, it's got to be so hard because you can get top dollar for your tickets, but your team comes first, right? I mean, that's encouraging, I think, if they're not willing to sell their tickets to Cub fans. It might not be the same way in Chicago.
Right. You know, now there's plenty of Cub fans I'm seeing right now here wearing the Cubs blue down the third baseline behind the visitor's dugout. But it's not like in years past where it was almost 50-50. You could easily tell that by what people were wearing. And what I just saw walking into the ballpark tonight, you know, this era, this group of Brewers fans is really, really into it right now.
That's great, Bob, or Mike. And it's so great that, you know, it feels like October baseball tonight, too. The bat will probably sting a little more, but I'm sure it's easier for you than being out there in 90-degree weather. So that's exciting, too. Feels like October.
Right.
So, Mike, what? Real quick, Badgers, what did you think of the game the other day? Was that I'm just so ready to throw the towel in.
I was here, so So I didn't really get a chance to watch it. I just, you know, did some reading on it. And I talked to a guy today that was there. And, you know, one of the most disappointing things. So, you know, they put in this Hunter Simmons, you know, because Danny O'Neill's getting sacked and throwing as many picks as touchdowns or whatever. So they gave the freshman a shot. And he had a good opening drive. I think he hit Vinny Anthony about nine times.
Yeah.
For like 140 yards. So that was encouraging. But no running game. The most disturbing thing was the Badgers defense has done actually very good. Their run defense,
right?
Like, you know, one of the top 25. Well, they blew that the other day against Michigan. And as much as Michigan's quarterback, this freshman, is, you know, like he was the top recruit of the year, he's still a freshman, make a lot of mistakes, has missed opportunities. I mean, if the Badgers had gotten maybe one stinking turnover, you know, to get a break in that game, who knows?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, now your run defense doesn't work. And your head coach is a defensive-minded coach. I don't – and next is Iowa, you know, followed by Oregon, Ohio State. It could be really brutal here for the month of October, yeah.
I know. And I felt bad. Like, the other day was like – it wasn't that much of a blowout. Like, the Badgers kept it close despite all that, what you just said. But it's just, it's going to be a rough season. I can totally tell. But, Mike, thank you for your time tonight. I know how busy you are, and I know what a great job you do out there. Have fun at the old ballpark, and keep us informed, pal.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Have a good night.
You got it. That's Mike Clemens, Civic Media Sports Authority. I almost called him Bob Uecker, Conrad.
I heard that.
I had Bob in my head, and I was like, oh, it's not Bob Uecker. It's Mike Clemens. So that's... Yeah, the Brewers are fresh, and the Cubs are like kind of, I mean, he just said that their pitcher was on 3 days rest. That's not good for a game one.
No, and it definitely showed.
And when is the next, well, there will be a game three. When is it, tomorrow, or they take another day off?
I think it would be tomorrow. Let me just double check that real quick. But
you double check. I'm going to read a text, Tom from Monona 608. In response to our question of the night, what movie character best describes your personality? He says, the dude, man. I like a little Lebowski reference. Thank you, Tom. Yeah. Very well done, sir. Let's go back to hour number one. That was a fun hour, Conrad. It's in the books. It's history now.
Yes, it is.
Katie Compton's always so much fun.
Yeah.
I love when Katie's on the show. Chris Casper, I did eventually figure it out, Chris. It was Will Rogers. I've always gotten those two confused. But to me, it's Will Rogers. He's the guy. And I just completely spaced. So thank you, Chris, for the assist. 414, Tom from New Berlin says, Sonny and Cher Love in reference to the bumper music. That's a great tune.
Yeah.
Tom, I picked that out just for you. I thought maybe you might want to slow dance and ask somebody to dance. Let's see. Tony the Trucker from the 608 says, Pete, though only 6'2 and 220, Uncle Buck, easygoing, soft-hearted, but tough as nails when needed. Also, I love to cook breakfast. All right, so Tony the Trucker says he's Uncle Buck.
I like that. That's my favorite one of his films.
Yeah, I thought he was saying 6'2", 220 was John Candy. But I don't know how tall John Candy was, but he's a big dude. But that's great. Mm-hmm. You can still be Uncle Buck. Uncle Tony. Thank you, Tony. Tom from New Berlin says, Otis Campbell from Andy Griffith. That's a good one, Tom. I love it. On the stream, I'm sorry I didn't see this earlier, Craig, when Katie was here, but Craig says, Pete, the Mulva Cultural Center has a beautiful theater as well as possible location for a film festival or a showing of The Godfather of Green Bay. It's funny you say that, Craig. She, apparently Katie did mention that to someone there, and they were looking into it, so great timing. Craig also says Will Rogers, so the listeners are more on top of things than me. I just couldn't remember who it was, Con. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know. It's by the way, it's Wednesday would be the next one because they have to travel to Chicago. Because,
oh,
you
know
it's the long drive.
That, yeah,
yeah, the really long drive.
What, do they have parents and vans taking the players? Like, it's old school?
That would be kind of cool, actually.
That would be kind of cool. What a great promo that would be. They're not flying to Chicago. Mitchell Field into O'Hare.
No, they're probably taking a nice bus.
Hour-long bus trip from O'Hare to Wrigley. That would be brutal. So have you tried, are you going to eat the Kurter burger?
No, I will never try that.
It looks absolutely disgusting.
Terrible.
It came about as a joke and people are like, oh, that sounds good. It's like, really? Okay. Here you go, public. It's out there. We'll talk more about that at some point. Maybe that's a good question. I want to know how people feel. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Yeah, pretty disgusting. All right. We're coming right back, ladies and gentlemen, with a gentleman named Derek Pfister. He is the founder of Chair and Stare Films. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner talking about this new piece of legislation in regards to housing. And who have you reached across the aisle and worked with on this issue?
I worked with folks like Rep. Armstrong, who our districts couldn't look any different. But when you center the actual experiences of your district, not your political parties, but the things that people need, there's a lot more alignment and possibility when that is the centerpiece.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses for free. Find a mentor today at score.org.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
The Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night, folks. We are jamming here tonight. It's always fun. If you missed the first hour, Katie Compton was here. She is a blast. Check out our podcasts at civicmedia.us. You can go to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. All our podcasts are cataloged there, and Katie's interview was really fun. Great stuff coming up at the Mulva, and she always has lots to say. I got to check that place out, Con. It sounds fantastic.
I'm surprised I didn't go when it was the Star Wars exhibit.
Yeah.
Mad I didn't go to that.
I would have gone to that, too. I think that sounds fantastic. We just spoke with Mike Clemens. Our question of the night is, what movie character best describes your personality? Let us know. Get in on the fun. We can still read your text on the radio. Plenty of time. It is now, this is kind of fun. I always love when we have new guests on, and our new guest here on Monday night is brought to you by Chicken or the Egg Photography. Chris specializes in food, event, music, and product photography for businesses across Wisconsin and the Midwest. See what he can do for you at chickenortheeggphotography.com. Chris is awesome, folks. Check him out. He's been on the show before, and no doubt he will be back again soon, but he does really great work. So go to chickenortheeggphotography.com and check it out. And with that in mind, said guest joins us now. He is a first-time guest here on Nightlight and the founder of Chair on Stair Films, Mr. Derek Pfister. Hey, Derek.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. It's a pleasure to meet you virtually like this.
Sure.
And be able to talk to you on your show. I've been seeing what you guys have been up to for a long time now.
Oh, well, thank you for listening. You mentioned that in the email. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And you're in Milwaukee?
Yes. Milwaukee, Waukesha area. Kind of in between both.
Can you feel brewer fever out by where you are?
Oh, yeah. Everywhere I go, driving through Brookfield out here in Waukesha, like people wearing their Brewers shirts, their hats, all that type of stuff. So I'm really excited to see that. It's bringing back that excitement from 2018 again. So I'm like, that was just an unforgettable year. Sadly, it didn't go our way leading up to what could have been a World Series. But, you know, that's why we're here right now. Let's make it happen.
That's right. And I will say, I know I've said this before on the show. I don't know if you're familiar with a movie called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Brewers, where they went to the World Series and did not get it done then. But that movie was so popular in Wisconsin this summer. I wonder if people are feeling that, you know, like they're kind of inspired by it. Like this is their year maybe. And this is a Cub fan talking about this. So yeah. It wouldn't be terrible to see a World Series victory for Milwaukee, especially after seeing Just a Bit Outside. Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. But let's talk about your films and a little bit about Chair on Sarah. Give us a little bit of your background, Derek.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been a filmmaker since I was a kid, all thanks to a buddy of mine introducing this big old JVC VHS camera during our childhood. And we did all these skits growing up with that camera until the thing died finally, thanks to us. So, and that really got me into loving working with a camera and just being able to feel comfortable even performing in front of a camera. Sure. And a lot of people think a movie got me into filmmaking and all that type of stuff. But no, it was really just being invited and being introduced to a camera and just escalated from there. I loved films before that, but being able to hold a camera, make your own skits, tell your own stories is what escalated to pretty much where I am here today as a filmmaker, doing everything I can to help out the community with what I can do with the camera.
And where does the name Chair on Stair come from?
Yeah, so it was originally the name of a fake production company that my brother used for a media project in high school. So back in like 2001. And I came across that VHS tape in the midst of me doing skits with a camera. And I watched the VHS tape. I saw what my brother did with his buddies. And it was pretty much a movie review show in their mind, where they would go out and see the current movies, which were really just their favorite movies, like Raiders of the Lost Ark or Apollo 13, which came out before they even, you know, years before they even did this thing.
Yeah.
But their ultimate plan overall was to go see these movies and then come back to their little studio and review them, give it a pinkies up if they liked it, a pinkies down if they didn't like it. But if before like showing the clip of like a, they wanted to show a clip of the movie before they talked about the actual movie itself, but it was really just them acting out a scene from that movie in a comedic way to really like draw in like people to watch it. And I fell in love with that even more. And that's what really drew me into it. And I love the name Chair on Stair Films that they used with it.
Yeah.
It was Chair on Stair Productions for theirs. I changed it to Films once I took it over from my brother. I gave it meaning. I'm like, you know, if I'm going to use this, I want to actually give it meaning, not just be like, huh, what does it mean? I don't know. It doesn't mean anything. But I'm like, if I'm going to use this, I want to give it meaning. And over the years, my team and I, which my best friend, Brendan Adams, who I run my business with, he and I have been making videos since middle school. He and I have been doing this together for well over 20 years. And we pretty much, the meaning of Chair on Stair Films is we take small ideas from unique locations, such as a chair being on a set of stairs, and we turn them into something that you never even thought of. Because ideas don't have to be so complex. They can come from the simplest of starts.
Right.
So, and it's about taking those small things and turning them into something big, something that you never even imagined. So our goal as a production team is to take your small ideas that you have and actually make them a reality, no matter how big or obscure they are. But our goal is to turn them into something for you whether it's for your business or for your actual personal projects.
Love it. It does sound a little dangerous. That's all I'm saying. But we'll get into that. We're going to do a short break here for the news, and I'm going to ask Derek why he likes filming in the Midwest so much. It's going to be a cool answer, and he's going to tell us about Next Frame, too. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. We're coming right back after the news on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the government shutdown drags on, Democrats are continuing to push for an extension of health care subsidies. Republicans saying that is not a part of this resolution. ABC's Jay O'Brien's on Capitol Hill.
Republicans have been saying over and over and over again, they're not going to negotiate with Democrats while the government is actively shut down. And Democrats are holding firm, essentially trying to get Republicans to blink and vice versa.
Warnings about slowdowns at places like airports where air traffic controllers and TSA agents are working without getting paid. This is the 2-year anniversary of the October 7th Hamas attacks. Talks continue in Egypt on a possible ceasefire. Hundreds of National Guard troops from Texas arriving in Illinois, with the Trump administration looking to deploy them in Chicago, state and city filing a lawsuit. CDC is out with its recommendations for COVID vaccines, saying it's up to you whether to get the shot or not. Some say the change is not good for America's health. This is ABC News.
The Brewers roll past the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 7-3 victory over the Cubs in their best of five playoff series. The Cubs have now lost two in a row. Manager Craig Counsell.
You know, in the first two games, we have just not, you know, produced enough pressure on them. And it's, you know, that's going to add up to a lot of zeros.
Game three tomorrow afternoon, just after 4 o'clock at Wrigley Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy asked if Quinn Priester will be on the mound.
Do you know what your plans are for game three starting pitcher?
Game three will be Priester.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Heat 103-93 in preseason play. The Packers held practice and wide receiver Christian Watson out there since that ACL injury last January. Does it feel good to be back?
100%. I got to knock a little bit of rust off. Obviously, it's been a while since I've been able to, you know, go out there and play football, but from just, you know, confidence and just running and everything, it felt really good.
That's Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been said that nothing good happens after midnight, even when something might seem harmless, like doing wind sprints behind a bar at 12:30 a.m. Former Jets quarterback and Fox News analyst Mark Sanchez was doing just that after several drinks, apparently, early Saturday morning. It led to a physical altercation with a much older man, which is still under investigation. It was first reported that Sanchez was in critical condition with stab wounds, but now it's come out that he might have been the instigator of the incident that involved a 69-year-old grease truck driver. According to security tapes, both men, despite getting physical, were trying to record each other with their phones. Authorities say Sanchez body slammed the man to the ground and beat him up a bit before being stabbed two or three times, at which point Sanchez ran off. Mark Sanchez was arrested while recovering in the hospital, but has since been released. More details are sure to follow with this strange incident. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Finally, a stretch of some crisp fall weather for today. Plenty of sunshine. High temperatures in the comfortable mid-60s. For tonight, mostly clear, chilly with lows in the mid-30s. On Wednesday, more of the same. Plenty of sunshine with highs again in the mid-60s. It's 48 degrees at our studios.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Great to have you with me on this Monday, the official first day of fall, at least if the weather is any indication. Our question of the night, folks, if you still want to get your answer in, is what movie character best describes your personality? Let me know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text in on the app, very easy to use. Or if you're watching us on the radio, you can drop us a stream comment at Facebook, YouTube, or what's the other one, Con?
X Twitter.
That's right. Right now, we are going to get back to our guest here, Derek Pfister from Chair on Stair Films. I know it sounds dangerous, but he explained very well where that name came from. And tell us, you guys, I was checking out your website earlier. You're big proponents of shooting in the Midwest, and you sort of proudly say, this is where we want to be, and this is what we're doing. Why is that, and how have you found filming in the Midwest to be with a production company like yours?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've worked with so many phenomenal people. I mean, you've seen it yourself, especially up there in Green Bay, about, you know, how much talent is around here in the state of Wisconsin and even out in the outside states around us. And it's just really unique to see that. And it's just, there's so much hidden talent. And I've worked with so much of that hidden talent. And that leads into the purpose of the next frame. And our purpose is to expose that talent by showcasing mini documentary episodes of each person. Each episode is different and styled differently to showcase a different creative, whether they're a filmmaker, director, screenwriter, composer, painter, or even a sculptor. Like anything in the creative arts, we're trying to showcase. And by doing that, we're trying to say, hey, we can build the industry here in the Midwest as well, instead of having people always worry about either traveling to the East or West Coast to be part of the industry. So we're just trying to say, hey, we have the talent here. There's no reason the industry shouldn't grow here. We have, obviously, we got beautiful landscapes. We got beautiful history here, but the talent is here. And our goal is to showcase that talent by showcasing documentaries from how each creative started their journey to where they are today with all the hardships, everything, the obstacles they went through to be a creative artist, and showcases how they're keeping going. And by the end of it, you've learned their story, you've seen their work, and you get the opportunity at the end to be able to network and contact them. And I'm also trying to build the network by doing this in a film documentary format. And it's just been a blast doing this with my team now.
Boy, that's a big undertaking. Like, it's admirable, but it's also like, it seems like you have to get people on board, like, hey, check this out, it's really cool stuff. And I have no doubt you make great films, but how do you get people, like, where do you screen them, I guess, is my question.
Yeah, so we've been doing the series for 4 years now. We are actually in the midst of finally releasing season 3 to the public. Right now, we've just been having them on YouTube. Our ultimate goal is to get them on streaming. As long as we get it on a service, I mean, we'll be really happy, because that would be a huge step.
Absolutely.
But right now it's been primarily on YouTube. We've been working with Film Hub. They're really interested in the series. We're actually just in the final steps of redoing the whole composition, music wise, for the series. for music rights reasons. So that way we have all the music rights. And once that's done, it'll be resubmitted for streaming to find a home. But in the meantime, they're going to be out on YouTube to see the current formats, because all the creatives that are currently featured in season three have been excited. They want to get their names showcased out there, showcase their work and build their network. So that's what we're actually in the midst of doing right now. And we have a new one coming out tomorrow.
Okay. So where can people see that? Like where, like what, all the stuff you just said and what you're doing, where would you steer people to see, hey, this is what Chair on Stair is doing. This is what we're about. Send them or give the YouTube address or wherever, however you'd like people to find you guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as looking up Chair on Stair Films on Google. Now it shows up right away because of our website, stuff like that. And you search it on YouTube, will show up. Next Frame will show up right away as well. So, but if you want to like a general giant list of not having to search each episode or go through them, you can go to our website at chaironstairfilms.com. We have a Next Frame tab and watch them on there too.
Outstanding. That that's, and that was Google with a G-O-O-G-L-E, just to be clear.
I think so. Yeah. The Google.
They're doing very well for themselves. Where are your favorite places in Wisconsin to shoot, Derek? Like you're at Milwaukee area, but do you guys venture out of Milwaukee ever? Where are some of your favorite locations?
Yeah, absolutely. We've filmed a lot as out like in the northern counties, like out in Minocqua, stuff like that. We've loved the film out there. I'm a UW Oshkosh alum, so I filmed out in Oshkosh a lot, but a lot of our creatives are actually from that area too that are featured. So that's pretty fun to be able to have them showcase, like not only just like in Milwaukee and Madison, but we want to be far spread.
Yeah.
So we're up in the northern counties as well.
My guest is Derek Pfister. He is the founder of Chair on Stair Films. They are doing great stuff, you know, sort of selling Wisconsin and what people are up to and celebrating the creative arts here in Wisconsin. You worked on a film that premiered at the Cannes Film Festival. What was that project and what was that experience like?
That was an experience that I'm like, I can't believe I can actually say that we had work screened at that festival. And that's all because of the talented group of the film Reasonable Doubt, which was directed by Daniel J. Pico, who lives out in the Madison area. It was because our involvement in the 48-hour film project that led to our work being able to get that far. So it was a cool, like, just unforgettable experience. We made the film Reasonable Doubt back at the end of 2023, and then it premiered, like had a big screening at Cannes mid-May is when we had the screening there at Cannes.
So what do you guys, do you want to do more narrative stuff, or ultimately where do you see Chair on Stair Films landing in terms of the stories you tell?
You know, right now we've been so Midwest focused for years, pretty much my entire film career. It would be cool to be, you know, outside of the Midwest. I mean, we're still growing, but our primary focus has been just been here in the Midwest to try to grow the industry and have people be able to create here. Would it be great to be, you know, have that name, you know, more on the coast? Yeah. But, you know, by doing what we're doing, people are able to see it a lot easier now because of, you know, social media and the web. And
sure.
We can reach at anywhere now, which is great for any creative to do with the work. So it's not like we got to send tapes anywhere or reels anywhere and hope we hear something. Now we can get instant feedback and all that now.
Can you do the recently passed incentive bill benefit you guys yet, or are you working at lower budgets? Like will those come into play and help your company at some point?
Ultimately, I would hope at some point, like they were just passed and they kick in next year, but it doesn't look like by just the readings, and there's just so much stuff to read in there.
Yeah, it is.
I had to have somebody evaluate it for me. So I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right now it's not for like freelance businesses or small businesses. Like Chair on Stair Films, for example, it's more for, you know, larger corporate type of stuff with, you know, bigger, already established names that have been out there for, you know, decades. So We wish we could have our involvement in incentives right now, but sadly not. But it's a stepping stone as of right now to get to hopefully that point. At least now the state of Wisconsin has incentives.
Oh, it seems like everybody will benefit at some point, you know, if they can keep that thing going. And that's great. I think I asked you something similar to this, but what are your favorite things to shoot? Commercials? I know you do the biographies. Or do you see yourself doing more narratives? And why are those your favorite to shoot?
I was just shooting a narrative yesterday with some of my team who are making their own film. They're trying to take that leap to do their own narrative. And ultimately, the next frame or documentary format, I love doing those, but with narrative formats, like to have so many different types of unique ways to tell a story on set, whether with all those emotions and be able to move the camera in unique ways to tell those stories. I mean, I think narrative will always be my favorite.
Yeah.
The documentary has also, because of the next frame, the way that is great too, because you're telling, you know, true stories. You're telling stories that have actually happened for creatives. And I love that aspect because you can truly learn from that to help out your own career. But there's also something too about being able to create your own stories, whatever genre it is, to, you know, make something pop.
Absolutely. All right. So what is the hardest part? And you know, regardless of genre or medium or whatever, putting a film together, short, feature length, documentary, whatever, it's a lot of work, as you know. So what is your favorite part of that process and least favorite?
Oof. Well, I would say 40% of the time I'm shooting and then the rest of it is me editing.
Yeah.
I've been editing, I think, probably more. I have more hours editing than I think actually shooting, just because my full-time gig, I am an editor. So for a business. And then on the side for Chair on Stair Films, I'm doing everything from producing to writing to directing, you know,
right,
all the way through editing again. But ultimately, I love being behind the camera to, you know, tell the story with the lens. But editing is, you know, it's always going to be there for me.
But that's two different things behind the camera. Like, I know you're a certain cinematographer and you're an editor, but you just said you're directing too. Like, what's your favorite hat of those to wear? Cinematography, or shooting or directing?
That's definitely a hard one. I would still say probably cinematography. I love each one, but the one that probably has the headache the most is maybe even producing, just because I'm organizing literally everything all the way through. It's a lot of work. I mean, but then again, that work makes it great.
And absolutely.
It's so, the payoff is so much there. You feel it when it's finally done.
All right. Last question for you, buddy. And it's been great meeting you. Thank you for reaching out, and I'm glad this worked out. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
What are you watching on TV? What can you recommend to listeners of Nightlight?
Ooh, I don't know if you've been in the same boat, but like, do you ever find yourself doing too much work and not being able to watch a lot of other stuff?
Nope. I always make time for color television, buddy. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Well, you got to watch something. You got to chill little bit. Yeah.
I did a film that I just watched, and I'm surprised I just watched it now. It's called Ed Wood by Burton. Yeah, from the early 90s. And I'm like, why have I never seen this? And I watched it, and I instantly like fell in love with it. And it's just a great film. Yes, great, it's about film. A director who made terrible films back in the 50s, but he loved doing it.
Right.
And that's what I love to see. Like, even if you're bad doing it, you still have a passion to continue doing it no matter what, even with bad feedback. Or, you know, feedback from others.
That's a great,
kept on doing it.
That's a great answer. Listen, best of luck. Keep in touch and break a leg out there. It's been great meeting you, Derek.
Great meeting you, Pete. Appreciate being on the show tonight.
You got it. All right. Have a great night. That's Derek Pfister. Check out Chair on Stair Films on YouTube. We are coming right back to wrap this up. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let you know, girl, looking
good. You're out of sight. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Two U.S. Supreme Court cases this term may allow the conservative majority to strike down Voting Rights Act protections of minority voters and one of the few remaining limits to big money campaign spending in federal elections. Louisiana versus Calais, a racial gerrymandering case, returns to the High Court October 15th for additional arguments after initial oral arguments March 24th. Louisiana's black voters won a second majority-minority congressional district under the Voting Rights Act, but a group of, quote, non-African-American individuals appealed the new map, claiming it was discriminatory to them under the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas have railed against such minority protections in voting rights, education, and workplaces. Another case, National Republican Senatorial Committee versus Federal Election Commission, attempts to strike down campaign spending limits by party-affiliated groups as a violation of free speech. While national political parties can make unlimited donations to a federal candidate, they are limited in what's called coordinated spending with a candidate, which can include renting venues, sending mail, or most importantly, advertising. It could open another floodgate of money in our elections. The cases have far-reaching implications for equity in our elections process, and we'll be following both carefully in the coming months. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith, we're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Stretch here on a Monday night version of Nightlight. It's been great being on the air and talking with all of you. Great text tonight. I'd like to thank my guest, Katie Compton, who is always fun. Katie was our Nightlight window fun participant tonight, and she is doing a funny walk. So go to Facebook and check out Katie's funny walk. And those of you who remember Monty Python will understand the joke. If you're there, give us a like on Facebook or any of these platforms. We like to get likes and follows. Our text line has been pretty active tonight with our question, which was, what movie character best describes your personality? Chris Alfheim, our pal Chris Alfheim from Appleton, says Katniss from Hunger Games. Oh, that's a good one. I could totally see Chris Alfheim too.
Yeah.
She's kind of a tiger, you know. That's a great one. Thank you, Chris. 818 Bridget says J.C. Wyatt in Baby Boom. Those of you who haven't seen Baby Boom, it's Diane Keaton and she's great. Sam Shepard is in it and she gets tired of the rat race. She has a baby and moves to the country and creates baby food. It's like this picturesque, very romantic version of country living. And kind of a nice feel-good story. That's a great one. Thank you, Bridget. John Murray in Madison in the 608 says, can't wait to hear someone claims the dude. Feels like a long shot tonight. Well, he got his wish.
He did?
Who said they were the dude?
Tom from Winona.
Tom from Winona. Good call, John. As usual, John's on it. John also says, just imagine that lifestyle for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, all you care about is a rug.
You care about getting your rug back, smoking weed, and just
drinking Kahlua.
Drinking Kahlua in your White Russian.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, and I've heard, since I talked about the film One Battle After Another last week and compared Leonardo DiCaprio's character, he's wearing a bathrobe and a ponytail. Very reminiscent of the dude, someone said last week, also on the text line, and some Star Wars characters. And there's already been jokes going around about, can we please not have a hero or an anti-hero wearing their bathrobe? So I thought it worked in the movie, but either way. Sydney from Oregon, he's in the 708, says Dale from King of the Hill. That's a great one. Dale's the one that you can't really understand, right?
Isn't he the main guy? Or no?
No, Dale's like, hey, I got to get that egg old Kramer on there. Dale's great. Not bad, Sydney. That's a good comp. Steady Eddie from the 608 says, Pete, people tell me that I remind them of the Bob Uecker movie character Harry Doyle. I guess it's because my sense of humor is just a bit outside. Well done, Steady Eddie. He says, I can't remember the name of the damn movie. You guys have a clue? Mr. Cub, Ernie Banks says, let's play two. Steady Eddie says, win one for the Uke, go Brew Crew. I thought he's asking me a serious question about a movie there. I can't remember the name of the damn movie. You guys have a clue. He's talking about Just a Bit Outside. He's making a joke about what he just said or what followed.
I don't know. No.
Oh, Steady Eddie usually crushes it. It's a great text. I just don't. I want to do him justice. But yes, Steady Eddie, I trust you will be watching the Cubs and the Brewers, as will I, as will Conrad, as will Mike Clemens, who is always fun to have on the show. Thank you to Katie. Thank you to Mike. Thank you to Derek Pfister from Chair on Stair Films. Check out their work, especially if you need something filmed. It sounds like they can make it happen. Tomorrow night on the show, comedian Jim Flanagan will be here. Jim has a Wisconsin, he's Chicago-based, but he has a Wisconsin date coming up. We really enjoyed having Jim on the show. Last time he was with us here at Nightlight, and he's a very, very funny guy. So Jim will be here, and then we'll have a mystery guest, Con. We're going to have a mystery guest, maybe a quick film, a Nepo Baby film reviewer. I don't know.
Nepo Baby is crazy to say.
We'll see what happens, but it's going to be it'll be interesting. And do we have time to play that George Costanza, Jason Alexander clip?
Yeah.
I love this. All right, this is Jason Alexander, George Costanza on Seinfeld. Talking about his favorite, his character's favorite exchange on Seinfeld.
My favorite George line, I can't remember the name of the episode. It might have been the red dot with the red dot on the sweater. But it was when George was working at Pendant Publishing and he was having sexual relations with the cleaning woman in his office. And he gets called... He gets called into the boss's office, played by Richard Fancy. And Richard did a great job with the tee-up, where he's really not quite looking at me. He goes, George, it's come to my attention that you've been having sex on the desk of your office with the cleaning woman. Now, of all the things that George could have said, all the potential lies, I mean, you know, you're dealing with Larry David, so the things that he could have come up with are innumerous. But what they wrote for me was that wrong? Should I not have done that? Because I got to tell you, I've worked in a lot of offices, and that kind of thing goes on all the time. If anyone had said to me when I started here that that was frowned upon, it was such a perfect, no lie was going to get you out. So you go with, I didn't know that that was not a fine. That only George Costanza would think of that.
So great. And I love the guy who played the boss. He said his name was Richard Fancy. I didn't know. He's just a great character actor. And he says to George, you're fired right after that. And George says, we didn't have to say it like that. He's complaining how he got fired. That is a great experience. It's so funny, though, that that was his favorite moment from the show. A couple stream comments we've got here before we get out of here. Sydney Politics says, you're thinking of Boomhauer. Yes, that's his name. Boomhauer was the one that couldn't talk very well. Sydney says, Dale is the conspiracy nut. Yes. Okay. It's been a long time since I've seen that show. Sydney says, what up, Dave? Dave, you better get back to Sid. They're streaming pals. I love it. All right, we're coming back tomorrow night. Hope everybody has a great night. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your evening, folks. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the world marks 2 years since the Hamas attacks of October 7th, indirect talks between Hamas and Israel have begun in Egypt on ending the war in Gaza. The government shutdown affecting millions of us, but mostly hurting federal workers who aren't getting paid, including those who scan luggage and direct planes and air traffic control towers as the fight in Washington drags on.
The staffing shortages triggering delays at major airports across the country, including Newark, Denver, and Phoenix. Smaller airports could also be affected. The Transportation Department says funds for the program that allows air carriers to service rural areas will expire next week.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. The Vatican has announced Pope Leo's first trip. He will travel to Turkey and Lebanon at the end of November. The Nobel Prize in Physics has been handed out to two researchers studying quantum mechanical tunneling. This is ABC News.
Farm news that